Good morning, church family. This is Pastor Stephen Brooks. Welcome today to our online internet around the world church service. And I'm so glad that you are here today. And yes, I'm over in my normal Wednesday morning teaching studio. That's because our sanctuary studio has been getting some refurbishments, and we'll be unveiling that hopefully by next Sunday. A lot of work has been going on over there upgrading various equipment as well as the set itself. So I'm looking forward to next Sunday when I can jump back to my pulpit. I like standing up. Now, I like sitting down when I teach, but I like more standing up when I preach, praise God. But I'm still so honored and happy to be here with you today. Now, we are going to receive the tithes and offerings, and let's jump over to a very familiar scripture. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." Woo! So, tithing, my friends, is not just a church doctrine. We can see the doctrinal support to teach it from that angle or from that perspective. But it's really, tithing is a law of the kingdom that launches the believer into realms of prosperity that have no limit. Woo! Praise the Lord. And tithing is truly God's principal term of the covenant of abundance. So if you want to come into a covenant of abundance, you go through with the golden key of tithing. And you know what? There's no shortcut to covenant wealth. I know that some Christians are still trying to find it without the covenant. They're trying to get into the wealth aspect of the kingdom without working it from the covenant end. But there's no shortcut to real biblical covenant wealth. And tithing is a kingdom mystery that I have seen that gives dominion or mastery over your personal finances. It's really interesting. And I believe tithing is also a key to coming out of debt. Well, Pastor Stephen, how could that be? Well, again, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, it says that for the tither, the one that gives tithes and offerings, the God will pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. So here's a question, a logical question. If you have such overflow that God is pouring out so much that you don't even have room enough to receive it, why in the world would you need a loan, right? Why would you need to go, applying for 10 or 20 different credit cards when you have enough money to just use your ATM debit card just to, pay for it? So you can see how tithing, again, just brings you into God's wealth plan for your life, and it's a really, really good plan. So I want you to get into the covenant of wealth, which is anchored through tithing. Now, also, my friends, we are coming up on Passover, and your Passover offering is going to be used towards the stage 3, which I believe is the final stage of our land development. We've got the 14.5 acres out by the airport. Let me pop a picture up on the screen. And this picture that you're looking at right here, this is where we left off last year. And we had a wonderful ministry partner, and he came up with his team and all of his heavy equipment. And we have a beautiful pad site that has been built, but we're going to have to now go into phase 3, which is very, very exciting. Because as you're looking at that picture, you can see some trees on the left that they're too close to those stakes. You can see probably a stake on the left up front. It's got an orange ribbon around it. That's one of the boundary markers of the new ministry building that will be built there. And I used to be a plumber. Plumbers love seeing trees in people's yards or in their backyards because the plumbers know what the roots do. They go down, they search for water, find water pipes and grab them and crack them and then grow into the pipes. And the plumbers know, hey, we're going to get a call before too much longer. So I don't want any plumbing problems. And I don't want a tree so close to the building that if we ever had a giant windstorm or something like that, a tree could fall and hit the building. So what we're going to do on the left, we're going to push those trees back a little bit. And then also on the right, if you look over on the right, there's a whole swath of trees that are going to come out on that side also. There's a big chip pile down towards the back of that picture. All of those chips will be gone. There's a bunch of stumps back there also that are waiting to be removed. All of that, my friends, is coming out, praise God. And in this new phase that is supposed to begin tomorrow, now we've had a lot of rain, but hopefully we'll be ready to go tomorrow. I hope so. But what we're going to do on this next final phase of land development is we're going to expand out that pad site. And there will be two buildings that will sit on the pad site. We're going to have a square foot total that's right around 8,000 square feet. So we're going to build that pad out a little bit more, extend its length and width. And take a look at the next picture. We've got some heavy equipment. It's already been dropped off. Woo, praise God. It's on the property. And the big Traco excavator is ready to go. Now they're bringing the rest of equipment later on in this week. We're going to have a couple of bulldozers. We're also going to have a bunch of skid steers, and there will be a lot of dirt that's going to get moved. And also, I don't have pictures at this time, but I will very, very soon. The prayer altar area, which is where the prayer portal is going to be at, that is going to get cleared completely. It's a large circular area in the middle of the forest. That is going to get cleared of the remaining trees on it. Then that site is going to get built up and elevated. It'll have its own pad site. And, it's going to be very exciting. So your Passover offering will help us to move this project forward with no strain. So there's the need for the land clearing. It's not so much clearing now as it is developing of the land. And, of course, we're going to need a lot of gravel when we're done with this to lay down for the new road as a substrate. And we're going to probably lower the main road that's coming into the property. We're going to lower that road 5 feet. And this wonderful ministry partner, he and his wife shared insight with me about the building pad because he's a land developer. But this brother said, Pastor Stephen, your road coming in, when you pull up to the building, the road is actually like 5 feet higher than what the pad site is. I said, well, that's not the way it should be. He said, no, it's not. You should lower the road. So we're going to lower the road and the bulldozers will be there. We're going to actually drop the road area down 5 feet and all of that dirt will get pushed forward to build up the pad site that's already there. Some will get taken back to the prayer altar area, but there'll be dump trucks. There'll be a lot going on. So your giving will allow us to move this project forward. And I have to admit, I'm super excited about the prayer portal. I am so excited about building that. So even before we have the ministry building, which will be our new world headquarters and also the television studio next door, before we build those two structures, we will build the prayer portal. And I learned that from Dr. Oral Roberts, and Prophet Kenneth Copeland said he also learned that from Oral Roberts, that the first thing that you build on your ministry property is where the prayer area is going to be at. So the prayer portal will be built first, and it's going to be very unique. I don't think you'll have seen anything like it before. Woo! Remember, in the Bible, when you read about Kiriath Jearim, that translated from the Hebrew into English means a city or a village in the forest. And this prayer altar, it's in the middle of a forest. Praise God. The ministry center is in the middle of a forest, as you could see from the earlier picture. So it is going to be a lot of fun. And I look forward to when the prayer altar is built. You can come out and pray and seek the Lord. We'll have prayer meetings often. We'll have it open all night, Friday night, for prayer meetings and things like that. But it is going to be a lot of fun. So thank you for preparing your Passover offering. Monday, April 22nd is Passover. So while you're faithful to the Lord with your tithe, because the tithe opens the windows of heaven, and the offerings determines what's poured through those open windows. Amen. So I want to encourage you to sow your best Passover seed, and your giving will allow us to move this project forward. Woo! Praise God. It's very, very exciting. God is moving. By the way, the plans, the architectural plans for the new ministry headquarters and the television studio, we're now on phase three. That's the final phase of revisions, and we're going over that in detail. Woo! It's going to be built to some very high quality standards. Amen. We even raised the level of how big the cement pad should be. I want that cement pad to last until Jesus comes back. So it will be reinforced, all of these little things going into it. You know, it's like you only get once to build it, right? Let's build it right to the glory of the Lord. Amen. So thank you again for honoring God with your tithe and also with your special Passover offering. Now, I want you to get your Passover offering either on or before April the 22nd, which is Monday. That's Passover, okay? So if you have it ready, go ahead and send it in. And a few people already have. If you need a little more time to get yours pulled together to do what God is directing you to do, then by all means, take your time. But I want you to endeavor to get it in on or by May 22nd, which is, April 22nd, which is Passover. Okay, so if you're going to mail in your tithes and your Passover offering, please send it to Stephen Brooks International, P.O. Box 717, Moravian Falls, North Carolina 28654. Now, if you prefer to bring it in online, you can do so from anywhere in America, anywhere in the UK, anywhere in the world. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm so thankful for my online church members, not only in America, but Australia, New Zealand, Canada, China, Singapore, and UK. It is such a joy to have you connected to this ministry as our hearts are connected together in the Lord. So if you're giving online, go to our ministry website, stephenbrooks.org. Look at the top. There's a header that says Give Online. Click that. There's a little drop down that says tithes and offerings. Click that, and it'll take you to the giving page, and you'll see these words, F-U-N-D. It says fund. Click that, and then you'll see the area for your tithe. You'll see an area for an offering, and when you give your offering, just write Passover. If that's your Passover offering, just type Passover in, and we will receive it on this end and rejoice in the Lord and pray. We'll be praying over your offering as we always do and over your tithes. And we're agreeing with you for God's miracle harvest in your life, because I know that you have dreams and you have things also that God has called you to do. So as you sow seed, oh, we're believing for God to give you your dream harvest as well. Mm-mm. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, I speak blessing over their giving, over their tithes. I speak increase. And I thank you, Father, that you're bringing every single one of them out of debt, because when there's overflow, when there's more than enough, we don't need to borrow. So, Father, we thank you that while borrowing is not a sin, it's just not the premium position that we want to be in. So I thank you, Father, for bringing your people completely out of debt and putting them in the position of overflow. Now, we thank you, Father. Give them seed to sow. We thank you in Jesus' name, and we all agree and say amen. Mm-mm. A mighty harvest is coming your way. Praise the Lord. Now, today I want to talk about some interesting things, how you can drip with the oil of the Spirit, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that as we study this today, we will not just only receive information and will not only just receive what we could even call revelation, but we will also be, which is very important, we will be hearers and doers of the word. Okay, so keep that in mind as we're working through this today. So let's begin with prayer. Father, as we're jumping into your word, we ask that your Holy Spirit would cause revelatory knowledge to flow. Let the spirit of wisdom and revelation be in operation upon the minds of everybody listening intently today. And we thank you, Father, for great breakthroughs. And we thank you for an anointing so strong that it literally drips. Oh, God, we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo, praise God. Amen. I see you're anointed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. If you believe that, say amen. Let me grab a drink of water. Woo, praise the Lord. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and let's begin today in verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Or that can also be translated as divine secrets. Now, verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. That means you build yourself up, you strengthen yourself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. So the thing with tongues is that when you build yourself up, now you are in a position of strength to be a blessing to others. And one of the great blessings to anybody in the body of Christ is a prophetic utterance. Praise the Lord. But it helps so much to be built up in order to flow in the other gifts. Now, verse 18. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. My friends, we need to be speaking in tongues daily. Mm-mm. You know, it's tongues, in some ways, it's like learning a new language. And when you first learn a new language, it's a little bit awkward. It reminds me years back when I first started doing martial arts. I had ran track all through high school. Then I was running track in college. And honestly, I got a little bit bored with track. And I had a friend invited me to a martial arts class. So I went and I really liked it. And so I started going to classes regularly, studying Taekwondo. But all the movements were so weird and awkward for me because I was just used to running in a straight line. So you lift your legs up, everything goes in a straight kind of like certain way. But then in martial arts, if you're going to do a roundhouse kick, you're using motions and you're using muscles and stuff you've never done before. So you're trying to rotate on your foot you're standing on, and you got to pivot that foot. Then you've got to lift up the other leg. And it's just everything was awkward. And it felt like that for about 2 months before there started to become like a fluidity in the motion itself. And then when the motion becomes smooth, you feel more comfortable and things begin to line up in the right angle. But I think in some ways it can be like that when you're initially baptized in the Holy Spirit and you get your prayer language. When I first started speaking in tongues, it began to come out like this, like la, 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 da, da, la, da, 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 da. And I was ecstatic because it was coming out. Now, the more I kept doing it, it began to flow a little smoother and a little faster. And then after a few weeks, and then after a few months, and then after years, you begin to flow fluent in that. But it's like a young child. The first time a child speaks, and maybe the first time the little boy or the little girl gets a word out, maybe it's mama. Maybe it's something like that. And you're like, oh, my child just called my name, or just, you know, and you're really thrilled about that. But what if the child was 20 years old and it still only has a vocabulary of 5 or 6 words? In other words, it has not developed its language. You would think, well, we have a little bit of a problem here. But my friends, when you are initially baptized into the Holy Spirit, you get your prayer language. And you're able to speak in tongues, and you're able to edify yourself and build yourself up as you do. But you know what? There's different levels and different degrees in tongues. And you need to know at times when you need to shift gears, woo, praise God, and move into a deeper type of tongue. And there's even an area where the Holy Spirit can take you over into groanings. And so there's just variation in this, and we want to learn that, and we want to experiment with that. Praise God. So let me say this today. Speaking in tongues, and when I mean tongues, I'm talking about what the Bible calls other tongues, diverse type of tongues. Speaking in other tongues is the key to power, revelation, and the anointing. Mm-mm. Look at this classic verse. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So there's something about the Holy Spirit baptism that allows us to overcome fear so that you are able to talk to anybody. And that's why Jesus said, hang out here in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes and you're filled with power. Mm-mm. Well, there were 500 that were initially kind of like looking towards that, and they weren't quite sure what it was going to be like or how this was going to unfold. But by the time it did happen, which was on the day of Pentecost, we know that it had gone from 500 down to 120 people. There were only 120 people in the upper room. So where were the other 380? I don't know, but I do know that if you want to be filled, you have to want it. You have to be hungry for the Holy Spirit. And whether it's teaching like this that stirs you up, maybe you've never had it, but you want it because you realize the potential of what you can be walking in, there has to be a desire. Amen. So out of the 500, we had some that just never made it that day to the upper room. But I tell you what, you're going to have your upper room moment. And what does it give? It gives power. Well, when you do receive the infilling of the Spirit, it does give you a boldness to be able to talk to people that perhaps previously you would not have spoken to them. Or maybe you finally now stand up and you begin to do things that you knew were right the whole time, but you were compromising. You didn't have the backbone. You didn't have that inner strength or conviction. You knew that what you were doing was wrong. But now that you've been filled with the Spirit, you stand up and say, no, I don't do that anymore. And you don't say it all apologetically. You don't say it like you're a mouse ready to, you know, run underneath the couch. No, you say it with like the strength of a lion. And they know, well, something's happened to our friend here. They're not the same anymore. No, praise God. Amen. So this Holy Spirit baptism vanquishes fear out of your life. Look again in Acts chapter 4. And let's go to verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So there is something about the infilling, the fresh baptism in the Holy Spirit, that gives you a very unusual boldness where you can do things very sweetly. And you're very, love-filled, but at the same time, you're bold and you just do it. And there's a strength to it. Praise God. You know, there's different ways to minister to those that don't know the Lord. And we can all approach it from the anointing or the grace that God gives to us. One way that works good for me, and I'm not sure if this would work well for others, but for me, I like doing it. And I found that it makes an impact, is that maybe just like, instead of like going like up, like what we would call almost like a cold call to somebody and say, hey, do you know Jesus? You know, if the person doesn't, they're like, oh, no, and I don't know if I want to. For me, I kind of come in from a different angle. I come in with books. I'll give you an example. I do this often. Let's say I'm going through the drive-thru at a coffee place, particularly like a Starbucks. And I have books in my front right passenger seat. Now, if Kelly is riding with me, I've still got the books in the center console. But if I'm going by myself, I've always got books, even right now, in my front passenger seat. So when I'm going through the drive-thru and I'm placing my order, I'm praying, Lord, this person that's taking my order, I'm going to pull around, what's a good book to give them? And the Holy Spirit will show me which book to give them. And they're not cheap books. They're like $10 or $14 books. But I'll give you an example. I was at Starbucks recently, and I pulled around to get, place my order. Then I pull up to get my drink and to pay. And there was a young black girl working there, real sharp looking. And I already knew the book the Holy Spirit wanted me to give her before I even saw her face. The Holy Spirit said, this one's like going to be good for her. And it was a book by Bill Winston, Dr. Bill Winston. And you know, he's got a suit and tie on, and on the cover, he looks real sharp. And I held that book up and I pulled up. I said, hey, would you like a free book? I believe that you want to succeed in life, don't you? She said, I do want to succeed. I said, I thought so. I said, read this book by somebody who has great success. You'll be blessed. And she looked at the book and she said, thank you. Now, this is at Starbucks. And I mean, it's kind of hard to find the Christians at Starbucks, if you know what I'm talking about. But I just do that. There was another time I had a book, and I said, Holy Spirit, I think this is the one to give this person working there. The person working there has, he's a guy, has you know, still trying to figure out, you know, who he is. So he's got all that going on. You know, he's got the hair, like purple hair or something like that, piercings everywhere, and trying to figure out his identity. And I had a book. And I gave him this book, a good book, not an old wore out book that nobody wants. I gave him this book about success. And I said, hey, I said, you know, I think you would enjoy this book. It's very positive and it'll help you make good decisions in life because I can see you're going up the ladder. And, you know, when you speak to people and build them up like that, they like that. And of course I've been praying in tongues, so I'm ready. It gives you boldness. He goes, a book is free. I said, yeah. And he took it. And about 2 weeks later, he was there when I zipped through the line again. He goes, oh, he goes, man, that book was really good. He said, I was reading it at home, and my roommate told me, he said, hey, do you know who that author is? He goes, no, he has a weird name. The name was Zig Ziglar. And that his roommate said, that's by a Christian businessman who was very successful. He said, that guy knows what he's talking about. So this guy ends up reading the whole book. Then, of course, there's a prayer for salvation in all of these books I'm giving people. But I've got all kinds of books. And so that's what I do. I let the Holy Spirit lead me. But it gives you a boldness because, look, if you ever try to witness to anybody or if you do anything in fear or unbelief, it won't go over well. I mean, the book could have $100 bills stuffed in it. But if you say, hey, would you like this book? I don't know if you're going to like it or not. There's going to be like a negative charge there. But when you have strength and you're happy and you pull up and you would just want to be a blessing, I tell you what, they're thankful and they're happy. So, you know, you hit it from what works for you, because sometimes what people do when they're trying to win people to the Lord is they put them under pressure, and the person just kind of gives in and says, okay, I'll pray the prayer. And so then they pray the sinner's prayer, but they feel like pressured. So I like to just take my time, put something in their hands so they can make a decision where they've thought it through, where they can allow the Holy Spirit to work on their hearts. And it's, you know, books can go places that we can never go, and that they can stay with you too. And then after they minister to that person, then the same book can minister to somebody else. But we all have our different ways of ministering to people. By the way, I found out later that the young man with the, you know, blue hair, sometimes it's blue, sometimes it's purple. He's a preacher's son. Pentecostal preacher's son. Look, you never know. You never know, amen. But I tell you what, the Holy Spirit boldness, which is why you need the baptism, it'll just allow you to go for it. And you do it, and hallelujah. Oh, it's wonderful. You need it. Amen. Praise God. Now, let's continue. Luke chapter 24. Look at this. Luke chapter 24. And let's go over to verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Well, the word endued, I don't like words that we don't really understand. Some of these words are brought over from the old KJV, brought over from the Tyndale and so forth from many, many years back, centuries back. We don't really, outside of the Bible, I never use the word endued. Brother, have you been endued? Well, and what does it even mean? Well, it means to be clothed upon. It's like having a garment put on you. So you're clothed upon. That's what that means. There are some words in the Bible we really don't use. Say like the word propitiation. When's the last time you ever used that? Maybe never. So outside of the Bible, a lot of people don't know what that is. Well, it means a sacrifice that atones or takes away that sin. So these are things that we need to understand. But I tell you, when you see and do, just think clothed with what? With power. Mm-mm. Until you are clothed with power from on high. So power from on high, God wants you to walk in it. God wants you to wear it. God wants it on you so much that it's dripping all over you. Mm-mm. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I've seen this around the world in my international travels, and I'm sure that you have noticed this as well. Even in the various places that you have been, there is an invisible line that runs through the whole church globally. There's an invisible line. And it's really a separation. Those that believe in the modern day baptism of the Holy Spirit and those that reject it and say, that's not for today. But that imaginary line, it's amazing how it can even get lifted and people that you wouldn't think have it actually still have it and walk in it. Praise God. But there is a difference. There's a difference in preachers who have it and preachers who don't. There's a difference in any believer who has it and the believer who does not have it. Let me give you an example with preachers. You can watch preachers on television, and I can close my eyes, or you can blindfold me, and just by listening, I can tell you who's baptized in the Holy Ghost and who's not. I can tell you, and you can too, can't you, who's been baptized in the Holy Spirit and who has not. Mm-mm. Why is that? Because they're anointed. And that's really one of the things also that drew me to the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I grew up in a mainline denomination that did not believe in tongues, did not believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit, did not believe in miracles, didn't believe in a lot of things, honestly, but basically didn't believe in anything supernatural. And as one minister friend of mine described it, because he grew up in a similar environment, he called it the eternal hour. That's what Sunday morning was. It's like the eternal hour. When is this going to end? Because this is so boring, I can hardly handle it. And that's not trying to be sacrilegious. That was just being honest. Why? There was no anointing. There was not one preacher that I ever sat under growing up as a young man that had what we would call an anointing of the Holy Spirit. See, even in the denomination that I grew up in, there were a few, very, very few. There were maybe two preachers that were like what we would call dynamic, but it was all in the flesh. They would like scream and shout, and it was actually abrasive. Why? They saw Pentecostal preachers do it, and they thought if they mimicked them, it would have the same result. But the Pentecostal preachers had been baptized in the Spirit, and the ones mimicking their actions had not, and it was all in the flesh, and it stunk. Which is why I love the Catholics in the sense, because they also, although it's not something they push as like a foremost, like interest, but they do have a major stream within the Catholicism of the group known as the Charismatic Catholics. And it's welcome. And they don't fight it. They don't resist, in a sense, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Now, they've got a lot of order, and sometimes that order can be suffocating, but there are many Catholic churches that will allow the Holy Spirit to move. And I've got a lot of friends that are charismatic Catholics. And by the grace of God, have gotten quite a few of them also filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. But back over to my, I guess I would say more Pentecostal roots and more my Pentecostal faith. Yes, there is a difference with the anointing, a dramatic difference, which is why you need it so much in your life. Well, Pastor Stephen, you're in North Carolina, and you've mentioned that in your county, there's over 300 churches alone. Yes, probably probably 95% of them are Baptist. And I love my Baptist brethren. The Baptists are real big, real strong on evangelism. And because North Carolina is still considered in the South, you know, we're here with most of the Baptists that are Southern Baptists. Now, you've got the Primitive Baptist. You've got other branches of, you know, out of the Baptist denomination where they've got their own little thing, whatever. But primarily, most of them are Southern Baptists, and they hold to Southern Baptist doctrine. But isn't it funny that while I talk to many of my Baptist friends around town, and they know I'm Pentecostal, they get a little nervous, some of them do around me, you know, because they know I believe all of that. But a lot of them really love me. But here's the reality. They know I'm Pentecostal. I know they're Southern Baptist. And they do not believe in tongues. They're what you would call cessationists. That's the theological term, which means they believe all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit ceased when the last apostle died. But even here's what's so funny. My friends in the Southern Baptist Association, which is most of the churches are here, while they are cessationist and don't believe in miracles, don't believe in tongues. Guess what? Guess what? The Southern Baptist Association has in their own charter and in their own chartered doctrine. You know what it is? Here in North America, we Southern Baptists are cessationist. We don't believe in tongues. But guess what? There's an exception. For who? All of the African missionaries. All of the missionaries that are Southern Baptist, that are from America, that go to Africa, you are given an exemption. Why? Because in Africa, even if you're a Southern Baptist, when you go to Africa, you're allowed to speak in tongues. Why? Because if you're in Africa and you don't speak in tongues and you think the spirit realm is all fake and silly, they think you're a total idiot. Why would they think that? Well, because go over there and check it out for a while and you'll find out that if you think like that, you are. You're denying the obvious. You're being an imbecile. So the Southern Baptists allow their African missionaries to speak in tongues. And Pastor Stephen, that seems hypocritical. Yes, it does, doesn't it? And the reason it seems like that is because it is. What causes weirdness like that? Religious spirits and things along that line. Hallelujah. But it's for whoever wants it. Glory to God. Woo, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, those who spend time every day with the Lord speaking in other tongues will drip with the anointing, and you'll be saturated with the presence of God in your life. And don't think for a second that others around you won't notice it. Your unsaved friends at work will notice it. People that are other believers around you will notice it. Praise God. I tell you what, it does something. It does something in your life. It causes power to come upon you, to come up in you. It causes you to say things that perhaps you never would have said before. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praying in tongues strengthens you to carry your cross, which, of course, the cross is the instrument to dying to self, dying to what other people think about you. And you want to please God. Look at this in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Praise the Lord. Matthew 10, verse 38. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. There's an empowering element of being baptized in the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues that allows you to let go of your life in the sense of what you want to do, who mama and daddy want you to be, who grandpa says you should be, what all your friends think you should do in life. You should do this. Well, what does God think? What does God want? That's what I'm going to do. And that's what the Holy Spirit will empower you to do Woo, praise God. Even if you have to go upstream against what everybody else is suggesting or saying. And they can be very sincere, but they could all be sincerely wrong. So who are you going to please? Woo, praise God. Mm-mm. Praise the Lord. We are slowly gearing up for further ministry in the Middle East. I won't say too much about that because I don't want the enemy to strategize against it, which is why we pray in the Spirit, and he can't understand what we're doing. But, you know, in areas where there's heavy persecution, where as a Christian, you are the vast minority against a sea of those who would call you an infidel and think it an honor to kill you. You know what? You have to have strength, which is why so many of the Iranian Christians are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Woo! It's just amazing. It's amazing. Glory to God. So many of the Egyptian Christians are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And of course, Africa, with a heavy Muslim presence, so many of the churches that are overcoming and victorious against anything hell can throw at them, and not only overcoming, but advancing. They're all charismatic. They're all Pentecostal. They're all Spirit-filled churches. Mm-mm. It is interesting. It is interesting when you look at the largest churches in the world, look at how many are Spirit-filled. Praise the Lord. Glory. And I'm talking churches that are over 100,000 members. Praise the Lord. Glory. Glory to God. But again, it comes back to your personal life. It is a personal empowerment that turns you from a lightweight into a heavyweight in the spirit realm. And you cannot be pushed around anymore, no more than God can be pushed around. Why? Because now God's in you, God's on you, you are empowered with his own strength. And you need it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's why we speak in tongues. That's why we speak in tongues. Now, I want to share something. Let's go a little bit deeper that I want to pray for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. Paul the Apostle said, I affirm by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. Now, Paul said, I die daily. We read a little bit earlier when we started the sermon today that Paul said, I thank God, I speak in tongues more than you all. And they spoke in tongues. He's just saying, I speak in tongues more than all of you. And then here he says, I die daily. Now, I want to say something. I want you to catch it. It's a prophetic statement. And I've never heard it said before. I got it from the Holy Spirit, because this morning I'd prayed in tongues for over 3 hours, almost 4 hours. And this is what I got from the Holy Spirit. Remember, Paul said, I die daily. This is what the Holy Spirit said. Speaking in tongues will kill you. Well, I don't want to die. And to catch the prophetic edge on this. Speaking in tongues, that's what the Holy Spirit said. He said, speaking in tongues will kill you. Will kill what? It'll kill that self nature that wants to be selfish. It will kill that me. It will kill that I. It will kill those impure cravings and urges that sometimes would seem like a mountain. Like you might even think, how could even anybody say no to it? You get empowered with the Holy Spirit and you start praying in tongues every single day, that thing will not only evaporate out of your life, you will look at the dust of it and you will say, how stupid that thing was. Mm-mm. Now, if you're a carnal Christian, you can be so gripped by it, you would even think, how could anybody ever get free? And of course, you're saved. God loves you, but you can have all kinds of weird quirks in your life. You can be a Christian and have some real serious baggage that's holding you back from God's plan for your life. But I'm telling you, you get filled with the Holy Spirit and really start speaking in tongues, you'll start to drip with oil, and speaking in tongues will kill you. It'll kill you wanting to go in a direction that the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to go in. It will kill you And instead of saying no, you'll say yes, and you'll say, I recognize this as the cross that Jesus has for me to carry. I don't really feel like it, and I'm not maybe even super motivated, but I know I'm supposed to do it. So up it goes on my shoulder, and forward I go in the will and plan of God for my life. Speaking in tongues will kill you. It will kill the self-life in you, which does what? It allows God's life in you to come out. And then you can finally start living the kingdom dream. You can start living the kingdom life. And that's when you begin to know the joy of the Lord. Not just like happiness, like we're all happy. Oh, we all got a tax return. We can go shopping. That's fun. Shopping is fun. It's joyful, right? But that's human joy. There is a joy of the Lord that's actually His joy. And His joy comes into you. Now you have more strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And you start living, breathing, tasting, smelling kingdom life. The weather is irrelevant. Doesn't matter if it rains every day and it's gloomy every day. You don't care. You've got so much life vibrating in you. And you get on that path. And you love it so much, you don't deviate. Well, now, Pastor Stephen, this is really wonderful. This is good. You should make a CD out of this and maybe sell it, make millions of dollars. Hey, you're watching on the internet. It's here for you. Take and receive. Freely receive, freely give. But here's one thing we must do. Yes, these are fascinating things. But as I said at the beginning, let's not just be hearers only, but let's be also doers of the word. Let's hear what the Spirit is saying. Let's hear about the empowering of the Spirit and how tongues builds a tremendous powerhouse in you of courage, of bravery, of boldness, of an ability to embrace the cross. Woo! An ability to just be turned off from sin. The thing that was such a magnet, now it's like switched. And what was now, what used to be an attraction, the magnet got switched. Now it's actually repelling it. Only God can do that. But this is how you get in. And that also, this is the entryway into the deeper things. I wanted to share a few more of the deeper things, but I'm throwing a lot out today. So I want to stay on task, on task, on track and on task. Amen. Woo, glory. It's getting kind of hot in here by the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's be hearers. Let's be doers of the word. Today is Sunday. Between now and Wednesday, I want you to get on a train with me, a spiritual train. I want you to get on a train with me, and this train rides early every morning for 2 hours and 24 minutes. And the train will run from now to Pentecost. Woo! Amen. Pentecost 2024. And the train is leaving today, tomorrow, Wednesday. It's leaving Monday, it's leaving Tuesday, and it's leaving Wednesday. I want you to get on the train anytime between these days with me. The train runs for 2 hours and 24 minutes every morning. I would like to invite you to get up in the morning. And before the sun has come up, pray in tongues for 2 hours and 24 minutes. Well, Pastor Stephen, I thought you were going to invite me to pray in tongues for 5 minutes. Look, I prayed and asked the Holy Spirit, what can we do? And you know with me, you know how I am. Let's work this. You've heard my testimony. I've pushed in this area before. I've explored the spirit realm in this area. But I know you can ride on the coattails of a prophet. I know that you can catch the anointing of a prophet. And you may think, I can't do that. But you have to understand, I'm doing it. There will be other church members that are doing it. And if you will catch the anointing that's on me, you can do it also. You may think you can't. I'm here to tell you that you can. Amen. Woo! Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So I'll be up every morning before 4:30. I'll be starting at 4:30 and going for 2 hours and 24 minutes. Why 2 hours and 24 minutes? That is a tithe of the day. And if you'll give a tithe of the day to the Lord by just getting up, and I want you to just pray in the Spirit. This is not an exercise in volume. This is just an exercise of worshiping God, letting your spirit go up to God, and letting the Lord Jesus fill you afresh. Mm-mm. Now, I want to close by saying this. I've made it very challenging, haven't I? While there is an anointing, while there is grace, and if you get on the bus or the train, if you get on the train within this window of Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, catch it anytime, then ride with me all the way to Pentecost Sunday. If you make it all the way to the end without missing one day, and you got up every morning and you put a tithe in of praying in the Spirit before the sun came up, and you do that from what you get on the train and you do this until Pentecost, let me know if you made it all the way. I want to send something to you, okay? Pastor Stephen, it's $1 million. No. I just want to send something that says God saw, and also I value you for seeking God. I value you for pushing in. Amen. See, when I was on the track team in college, I actually ran my fastest times when I was a sophomore. I kind of got distracted later when I was a junior and senior. Then I got had some injuries and stuff like that. So, but I ran my fastest when I was a sophomore. I was 20 years old, but I remember, I'll never forget it. One day I was running, and I was always kind of like in the B team. You have the A team of distance runners that are really good. They're almost all seniors, maybe a few juniors, but they're all really, really good, and they're always, that group was always placing in every single track meet. Some were winning. If somebody didn't win, maybe they got third or fourth. And, you know, this also was a team that was always going to regionals and nationals and things like that. But one day I was running, and, you know, we were like on a, I can't remember, like a 6 mile run or something like that. This was our afternoon run. We already did like 4 miles in the morning. So we're doing our 6 mile afternoon run. And I was in the B team, back in the B pack. And one day I just said, I'm going to close the gap and I'm going to catch up with the A group. And they were about maybe 200 yards ahead on the 6 mile run. So I just didn't say anything to my friends in the B group. I just left them and started pushing real hard. I didn't know if I could maintain the pace. And I caught up with the good guys. And when I did, the head guy turned at me and said, "Welcome to the A team." Woo! Woo! Hallelujah! And I from then on, well, that year, I was like in, I just was running with them and, you know, breaking my personal records and stuff like that and doing good. I loved it. So I'm making it hard on purpose. Is there grace? Yes. I'm still making it hard on purpose because you have to want it. You have to want it. So, I mean, you're well out, 50 days out from the end of this, and you've got a 4-day window to catch it, to get on this glory train, to say, okay, I'm in. If you're in, let me know, okay? And so start getting up every morning early so that you can get your tithe in of praying in the Spirit. Just sit in the chair. Don't fall asleep. Just get up out of bed. Go sit in the chair. It might even be dark. You don't have to turn a light on. Just sit there. Time goes by real fast in the morning. That's why we're going to do it in the morning, okay? And so get your time in. Some days it'll be easy. Other days it might be a challenge. But if you get your time in and you make it all the way to the end, I want you to email me again and let me know, Pastor Stephen, I made it. I'll send you a little gift. It's my way of saying, welcome to the A-team. Praise God. Pastor Stephen, I don't know if I can make it. You'll never know until you try. Amen. What if you don't make it? It's okay. God loves you. God loves all of us. There's no legalism. What's the difference between holiness and legalism? Holiness is saying, I want to do the best I can to live a life that honors God, that's pure, that has purity in it, and I'm just focused on the Lord, and I'm effective for the Lord. I want to draw near to God. That's what holiness is. Legalism is would be like me saying, you have to do what I do, and you've got to do it. No, I don't do that. All I do, sometimes I extend invitations. Like maybe I don't go out to movies, but if I were to say now, if you want to be holy, you got to give up movies like I did. No, that's legalism. It's trying to take what you believe or what you practice and then put it over on somebody else. I don't do that. And, you know, Paul, of course, that's why we have the book of Galatians. So you walk out your own faith, but I do know this. Sometimes you need inspiration, and sometimes you need somebody running up in front of you that is setting an example or saying, hey, I can see where the bar is set. At least I now have something I can try to, like, get into. Praise God. Amen. Amen. But I believe many of you will experience some very, very unusual things on this journey. Email me at contact@stephenbrooks.org. Let me know if you're jumping on this train. Praise God. Get on it and we'll run it. We'll ride it all the way to Pentecost. It will finish on Pentecost. And if you made it all the way and you didn't miss one day, I'm going to want you to let me know and I'll send you something special. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Mm-mm. Well, now, Pastor Stephen, this is very interesting, but I don't know the Lord. Well, it's time to get that made right. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, He's waiting right now. I mean, why wait another day, right? Turn your heart to God. Turn away from your sin right now. And just pray this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of all of my sins. I know I've done a lot of wrong. I repent. Jesus, please forgive me. Save me now. Wash me with your precious blood and forgive me of all of my sins. Save me now. Write my name in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. And amen. Woo! Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I have met over the years a few Christians who, despite asking Jesus to baptize them in the Holy Spirit, they haven't received it for some reason or another, and it's usually because there's like a blockage, because something they're not relinquishing something that God wants them to let go. The same time I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I was in college. There was a girl standing right next to me. We're the same age, and we're both wanting to get filled with the Holy Spirit. The pastor laid hands on both of us. I instantly started speaking in tongues. He laid hands on her. Nothing happened. And I kept speaking in tongues. And she said, she called out to the pastor. She said, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. He laid hands on her again. Nothing was happening. And she kind of like left and kind of like, you know, tried to like, in a sense, like put it over on him, like something wasn't right. We found out 10 days later, she was committing adultery with a married man. She was in her like early 20s. She was in an adulterous relationship with a man in his 40s, and she was not willing to give it up. So she not only did not get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, she eventually left the church. We never saw her again. So if there's something blocking it, the Holy Spirit will reveal it right now and surrender it to God and say, I'm done with it. Let it go. And sometimes it can be things that we don't think are gigantic. You know, there was a pastor one time, he had this bird. He caught this bird and put it in a cage. But it was a bird that, you know, is meant to fly freely. It was a beautiful bird, but the pastor liked that bird in the cage. It made him happy. The bird was colorful, and he liked having a bird in a cage there in his room, in his house. And so this pastor sought God and sought Jesus. Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to speak in tongues, and I want the empowerment. And it wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen until one day he said, where am I missing it at? How come you won't fill me? And Jesus spoke to his heart and said, release the bird from the cage. And he really liked the bird, but he left the church and he went home and opened the cage and let the bird fly away. The moment the bird flew out of the cage, Jesus filled him with the Holy Spirit and he started speaking in tongues. All right, so get rid of any blockage. And you have to really want Jesus to fill you, and he will. He'll fill you. Amen. If you've never been filled, just receive right now. Father, I thank you for this person watching now. Lord Jesus, fill them now with your Holy Spirit. Receive, receive, receive. Open your mouth and begin to speak out the utterance that the Holy Spirit will give you. Just open your mouth and speak it out now. And just keep speaking and speaking and let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Amen. Amen. And I hope to see you in these early morning prayer sessions. Praise God. I'll see you in the Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's take Holy Communion today. Grab some unleavened bread. Grab some grape juice. Hallelujah. If you're speaking for the first time in tongues, just keep it going. Just let it go out. Let it go out. Everybody's tongues, everybody's prayer language sounds different. Just let it come out. If you'll speak it, he'll give you the utterance. So keep talking it out. Father, we thank you for the bread and the juice. We thank you that as we pray over it now, this is now the body and the blood of Jesus. Father, as we receive the Lord's flesh, we say that we die daily, and we say that we are empowered by the Spirit so that we can walk the Christian walk the way that Jesus said we could. We thank you, Father. We now receive the Lord's flesh in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake together. Praise God, praise God. Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for its cleansing power, its protection. We thank you for the blood all over our minds. Oh God, we give you praise. We thank you for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for this infilling of strength. Father, I thank you for those that will jump on the glory train for the 2-hour and 24-minute tithe of praying in the Spirit in the morning before the sun comes up. I pray that grace come on them right now as we drink the blood of Jesus. I just thank you, Father God. I pray you give them grace to make it to the end. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive the blood of Jesus together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Even now that anointing to speak in tongues is really there. If you're under that anointing, I know that many of you are, just keep on speaking in tongues as I'm talking to you. Just let it go. Yes, God's releasing hunger right now in you to draw near. Praise the Lord. Yes, glory, receive strength. Receive strength. Amen. Praise the Lord. Divine mysteries will be unveiled to you as you wait upon the Lord and pray in the Spirit. It says that you are praying mysteries, divine secrets, and many of those are going to be revealed to you, and you will know the mind of God pertaining to what God's plan for your life is and what your next step is, even for the day and also for the things that would be out in front of you. Praise God. Glory, glory. Father, we seal this message today with the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for joy, and we give you all of the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, email me. Let me know if you're going to jump on the glory train. Amen. If you're not, it's totally fine also. Just pray and seek God and draw near to the Lord by speaking in tongues. But those of you that want to go on a journey, maybe you've even been looking for one. Come on, let's jump on the Spirit expedition and go off into the glory realm. Amen. I know I'm going to hear some testimonies. Amen. Email me at contact@stephenbrooks.org if you're going to join me. Again, also, thank you for getting your Passover offering ready and getting that in before Passover. We're going to have a wonderful Passover. And then, of course, after that, Pentecost will be just around the corner. All right. Thank you for watching. I'm praying for you. Have a fantastic week. Bye-bye.